Chapter 16. November and February.
Nate. Friday, November 9th, 3:40 p.m. Bring your things, says the guy who usually looks after me, and I know something is different by the way he looks at me. Eli meets me in the corridor. Welcome to the rest of your life, Nate, he says. When I don't reply, he adds, you're free. Let's get out of here. It's hard to understand, even when he tells me about Jake's arrest. Then he tells me Addie is in hospital with a fractured skull. It's okay. She's going to be fine. Soon, I also know that the goth girl, Janae, has a fractured arm, and Cooper is a superhero. And all because they tried to help me. My mother is outside, which I guess is a nice surprise. And Bronwyn, although I said I didn't want her near this place. Before I can do anything, her arms are wrapped round me, and my face is in her green apple hair. For a few seconds, I breathe her in and everything is all right. Except it's not. Eli gives quick answers to all the questions from the reporters while I do nothing. I'm out of jail because Bronwyn found the guy who crashed his car in the parking lot and made him call Eli. Because Cooper's boyfriend understood things other people didn't. Because Addie put herself in danger. And because Cooper saved her before Jake could shut her up. I'm the only one who didn't do a thing. All I did was be the scapegoat. The guy who everybody could believe was a murderer. In the car, Eli's talking to me, but I can't hear what he's saying. Did someone feed Stan? I ask. I did, Bronwyn says. I can't look at her. She wants me to be happy, and I can't do that either. The idea of dating Bronwyn seems so impossible that it hits me as if someone has punched me in the stomach. Cooper. Saturday, November 17th, 9:30 a.m. First, people believed in me, although I'd been accused of cheating and murder. Then, they hated me because I was gay. Now, they love me because I was in the right place at the right time to punch Jake. And Chris is a hero, too, because he worked out what really happened. Nani is looking at the papers. It's awful, she says. One boy's dead, another's ruined his life and almost ruined yours, and people behave like it's a TV show. It's a good thing people forget quickly. Something new will happen and you can get back to normal. I don't know what normal is. It's been about a week since Jake was arrested. Now, he's got a lawyer, and he's in the same detention center that Nate was in. I still can't believe this about the guy who's been my friend for years. Janae's going to be okay, because she's given them all the evidence they need. I'm not sure how I feel about what she did, but I don't feel very good about myself, either. Addie told me how much Simon hated me, because I stopped him from going to Vanessa's party. And I did that because I was scared of being outed as gay. Keely texted me to apologize for not supporting me when I was outed, which was good of her because I told her a lot of lies. Scouts have started contacting Coach Ruffalo. Pop won't talk to me about Chris, but he is looking at me again. It's a start.
Addie, 2:15 p.m. My fractured skull and my broken ankle are getting better quickly. but it's going to take longer to feel okay inside. Half the time, I feel like Jake died. And the other half, I want to kill him. I don't know what to feel about Simon either. Sometimes I get really sad when I think about how he planned to ruin four people because he thought we had taken important things away from him. To be successful, to have friends, to be loved, to be noticed. But most of the time, I wish I'd never met him. I'm worried about Nate. I know getting arrested made him feel useless. I know a lot about feeling useless, and I don't want him to ruin his life because he feels like that. TJ texted a few times, but I've told him I'm not ready to date anyone yet. But Ashton is dating Eli, and she's enjoying herself. Ashton is driving me back from a hospital check when she says she has something to show me. She stops in front of a new building and takes me to a large apartment on the third floor. What do you think? I love it. Are you thinking of renting it? I already did, she says. That's wonderful, I say. Can I come and visit you? No, she says. I stare at her. I want you to live here, silly. A new start for both of us. It finally feels like that might be true. Bronwyn, Sunday, November 18th, 10:45 a.m. Mikhail Powers apologizes for coming to the house so early, asking for an interview. And he's so nice to me that I say it's okay. I'm not following Robin's advice, but there's something I want to say that I haven't been allowed to say before. I just want to say one thing. I look into the camera while Mikhail smiles at me. I did cheat in my chemistry class, and I'm sorry. Not just because it caused so much trouble, but because it was an awful thing to do. It wasn't fair to my parents, or to my teachers, or to the colleges I wanted to apply to. And it wasn't fair to Simon. My voice starts to shake. I won't ever stop being sorry for what I did. I'll never do anything like that again. Nate's finally agreed to let me come and see him, but I can't feel very excited about it. Something has changed. When I get to his house, he grins at me, but only for a second. I start to speak. I guess I wanted to say, why is it so hard to talk to him now? I know you went through something awful, and I understand if you don't want to talk, but I'm here if you do. And I want to be with you as much as ever. He's not looking at me, and it's killing me. I don't see the point of us being with each other, he says. I guess it's time to get back to normal. We've got separate lives. You need to get ready for Yale, and I'll be doing the opposite of that. I want to throw my arms around him, but I can't because he looks as if he's 1,000 miles away. So I say, if that's how you feel. Yeah, he says. Good luck with everything, Bronwyn. Thanks again. I manage to get home and into my bedroom before I start crying like my heart just broke. Maeve comes and hugs me, and we lie in the bed together. Later, she gets out her phone and shows me a post from Yale University on the Mikhail Powers website. We all make mistakes, so we all must forgive at Bronwyn Rojas. Don't forget to apply. 3 months later. Bronwyn, Friday, February 15th, 6:50 p.m. I'm waiting to go on stage to play the piano. It's Pachelbel's Variations on the Canon, in a concert with the San Diego Symphony Orchestra. I still think about Nate all the time. But I'm going out with Evan, a guy from math club now. It's nice, but it's not serious. In fact, I forgot to invite him to the concert. My parents and Maeve are here. Kate, Yumiko, and Addie are coming. Cooper's bringing Chris. After I finish, I know that I played better than I've ever done before. Everyone's happy. Ashton and Eli, and Cooper and Chris all come to say well done. Addie's jumping around as if she's looking for someone. Then, as I'm waiting outside while my parents go to get our car, I see Nate. "Hey," he says, looking at me through his beautiful dark eyelashes. I don't want to see his stupid eyes, his stupid mouth, and every other part of his stupid face that's made me miserable for the past 3 months. It's been a great night, and he's ruined it. "Hi, Nate. How have you been?" You'd never guess how hard my heart is beating. "Okay," he says, sounding a bit nervous. That's not like him. "My dad's trying to stop drinking, and Mom has moved back here. She's got a job." "That's good. I heard you play. I was wrong at your house that night. Tonight was the best thing I ever heard." "Why did you come?" I ask. I'm trying hard not to cry. Nate has moved closer to me. "Bronwyn," he says, "I've been stupid. I thought you'd be happier without me when I came out of jail. I'm sorry." I can't speak, and I look down at his shoes. "I never really had anybody, you know. I'm not saying this so you'll feel bad for me. I just want to explain. Addie says I should." "Addie? So it was Nate she was looking for." "You weren't just my boyfriend, Nate. You were my friend. And then you stopped talking to me like we were nothing." "I know, Bronwyn. You were the best thing that ever happened to me. I had my chance with you, and I ruined it." He waits for me to say something, but I can't yet. "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have come. I didn't mean to ruin your big night." I finally manage to look up. "You've really hurt me, Nate. You can't just come here and expect everything to be okay. It's not." "I know," he says. "But I was hoping that we could be friends. That we could maybe go and see a movie together." There's a long pause. Then I say, "As friends? Well, if I'm being honest, more than a friend. But I understand that's not what you want. And I'd still like to take you to a movie." I can feel my mouth trying to grin, and I can see that Nate sees it. I'm starting to feel happy, but I'm not going to make things that easy for him. "All right, I'll call you," I say. "We haven't got each other's numbers," he says. "Do you still have your extra cell phone?" I ask. Mine's been ready for calls for 3 months. He grins at me. "Yeah, I do." Dad stops the car next to us, and Mom looks out the window. She's almost smiling. "I have to go," I tell Nate. He gets hold of my hand quickly, and before he lets go, I feel like electricity is shooting across my skin. "Thanks for letting me talk to you. I'll wait to hear from you, okay?" "Okay." I move past him toward my parents' car and feel him turn to watch me. I finally let myself smile. And now I start. I can't stop. That's okay. Because when I see him through the back window, he can't stop smiling either.
Penguin Readers. One of Us is Lying. Karen M. McManus. Level 6. Retold by Fiona McKenzie. Illustrated by Sayada Ramdial. Series editor, Sorrel Pitts. Read by Laurence Bouvard and Christopher Ragland. Copyright, Penguin Books Limited, 2021.